Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, what a pleasure to be here this morning and just to look into your word, God, knowing that you're on your throne and all things are sifted through your hands. We rejoice in that, God, and we thank you for it. And I pray, God, that the message this morning you would empower through your Holy Spirit to really touch hearts, hearts to be open. I pray you to anoint me, Lord, that I just speak words of the Spirit, God. And so we look forward to what you have to teach us. And Lord, I just pray that it would be life-changing, empowering, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been doing a series on marriage, the family. So it's a bigger picture, but marriage and family. So the title of the message this morning is Greatest Mystery. Okay, what is it talking about? It's talking about marriage and the family. This is the greatest mystery. And what you can do to prepare for this, we get there, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Ephesians 5, 32. So what I've done each morning, before each session, is to read these points because it focuses where we're going and I believe what the Lord is trying to tell us, all right, on marriage and the family. So, number one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, a biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy, lifelong values to children. Number four, sin messes up everything. Okay. So I always have people say, you give them some counsel. Well, what about this? You know, I don't say this, but I want to say sin messes up everything. Okay, I mean, that's the underlying reason these things don't work. So as we look at this, the greatest mystery, and we're looking at marriage, I want us to look at Ephesians 5:32. Listen to what it says. This is a profound mystery, or this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Okay, now this is in Ephesians 5, which is talking about marriage. So this verse is just thrown in there. Okay, you remember the last time I preached a whole message on the verse, of which I thought was just thrown in there. In fact, that verse that I said was thrown in there out of Malachi kicked off me doing a whole message on marriage. So every time you see a verse, you think, well, that doesn't fit. It's just thrown in there. You better study it because God has put it there for a reason. And this one is really awe-inspiring. Talking about marriage, this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The verse is specifically talking about marriage. That's what it's talking about. Okay? To understand this verse, you've got to understand the context and where it is. All right? And it totally belongs in this context. Paul says the mystery of marriage is profound, and it refers to Christ and the church. Now everybody should go, whoa. See, Paul is revealing that marriage is God's created relationship reflecting Christ and his church. We should do a double whoa. Okay? You know, I mean, people, if you watch TV or something, well, marriage and man's creation. No. We see here that there's something else going on about marriage that we need to pay attention to. Paul is revealing that marriage is God's created relationship plus reflecting Christ in the church. Christ in the church. The great eternal secret reveals God's purpose for mankind. What's the eternal secret that's revealed God's plan for mankind? The marriage. The marriage. Paul declares this mystery just after he quotes, you can go back and look at Ephesians 5:31 if you want to, but he declares this message just after he quotes Genesis 5:24 and Genesis 2:24 and Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And he says, this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. We've got a unity. We have an intimacy that's reflected from the very beginning in the marriage relationship. So when it says you're becoming one flesh, the whole thing in Genesis clearly reflects the unity between Christ and the church. That's the point. That's the point. The whole point there. They are one. Husband and wife, one. Christ and the church, one. The picture of Christ and the church, one, is the marriage, which is one. You want to see Christ in the church? Let me show you the marriage. That's what God says. This is what he's saying here. Now, so they are one. Well, what is it telling us? If this is a picture, see, what happens in theology and in the spiritual realm, you know, like the statement that I really am embracing more and more every day is God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I'm just starting to... Yeah, amen. I mean, it's just like on everything. And so, but what God does, because his thoughts are so much higher and the spiritual realm and what he's doing is so much greater that we can comprehend it, he gives us physical examples. All through the scripture, he gives us physical examples. And those physical examples are supposed to give us an idea, oh, that's how that works. And the greater spirituality will be revealed when we, and so we're looking for the greater when we go be with Christ. Amen? But we have a spiritual, we have a physical picture that helps us out. Amen? Now, so, and this is what he's saying about the marriage. I'm going to tell you, this unbelievable relationship between Christ and the church, you can't even comprehend it. You can't even comprehend. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you something that'll help you. Marriage. Marriage, the relationship between a husband and a wife, and that's going to help you comprehend it. Help you comprehend it. And it's going to help you comprehend, you know, the husband's position in marriage. The husband's position is head. His duty of sacrificial love. His duty of devoted care for his wife. See? And so as these pictures, they present us, we understand that from marriage, we understand then Christ is the head. Now we understand, oh, Christ is the head. See, we understand it through marriage. Okay, and we understand Christ's love. How do you understand Christ's love? Through the marriage. Oh, that's what it looks like. See? And then we understand Christ's self-sacrifice. How can we understand God's Christ's self-sacrifice? Through the marriage and how the husband loves his wife. Oh, I'm getting a picture of that. I'm getting a picture of that. And we see Christ's concern for the church from the husband's oversight of the marriage. Amen? Oh, you wouldn't believe how quiet it is in here. It's like... Oh, brother. Now see, now what we have here, the relationship and the relationship of the wife to her husband and her duty to accept his leadership are a picture of how the church should live and act towards Christ. Amen? Isn't that, aren't you excited, ladies? You know, I mean, that is really exciting. So what we see that the role, how wife plays out her role is a picture that we can see that, oh, that's how the church is supposed to respond to Christ. Are y'all with me? This is a profound mystery. That's what it says. And then he ends it. I mean, this is the end of the chapter, verse 32. He tells you all this. You go, whoa, he said, well, this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church. It all has to do with marriage. That whole section has to do with the marriage. It's not talking about anything else. Now, so now we have this picture. Now we have this picture. Just think about God's view of the world, God's view of what he's doing, and how God presents himself to the world is through the marriage. Oh, you're going to say, you'll figure this out. I know it's tough to figure out, but I'll show you in the marriage. I just go over there and one of Lyndon Wallace's worst days and say, this is what it looks like. You're like, oh, Jeez. Hope not. But that's what God's using. I mean, that's what he's using. So you see this picture and the dynamic of what he's telling us. He's telling the body of Christ. He's telling the body of Christ. So also, it explains something else. And we've talked about this before. What is Satan hell-bent on destroying? The family. He knows this. See, Satan's no dummy. Satan knows the scripture. He knows this. So he is hell-bent on destroying it. And when you look at the secular world, they are hell-bent on destroying this. See? Well, of course they are. I want to attack Christ. You know, we stand up, I hate Christ, he's ugly or something, you know. And it's hard to do that. I mean, it really is, because I was even listening to some people. They were movie stars, and they was talking about that, and they brought up Christ. And they all said, man, he's someone I'd like to meet, because it can't quite figure him out. You know, it's just, he just didn't mess up. I mean, they may not think he's God, but think, man, you know. See, so it's, he's hard to attack, but his people aren't. His people aren't hard to attack. So he attacks his people. And the thing with important, what projects him more than anything else is the marriage. So he attacks the marriage. But you see a purpose. Why is he doing it? It's perfectly clear why he's doing that. He's a smart being. He hates God. He hates Christ. He hates the church because it reflects Christ in the church. So that's how he destroys the message. Why? Around the world, they got all these religions. Why do they oppress Christians? Because they reflect Christ. See? Rest. Okay, have at it. You know, you and your little idol, go get it, you know. But the marriage, he attacks. Y'all with me? So let's look at the specifics. Y'all going to love this. Okay, let's look at the specifics in this Ephesians 5:25, of what he tells us about the marriage and how it works. It's a profound mystery. It's Christ in the church. So he starts off with the husband, because the husband is in this family. He's in this marriage. And so God says, now this is how the husband functions in this marriage to reflect Christ in the church. Ready? Y'all want to do this right here. Thus saith the Lord. The redemptive truth of Christ and the church is pictured in the marriage relationship. So pay attention. The redemptive truth of Christ and the church is pictured in the marriage relationship. He looks at the marriage. That's how redemption works. That shows my love. That shows my salvation and everything. All righty? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. All these guys going, yeah. That's the way it works. I mean, well, I don't like that. I mean, what does this reflect? It reflects Jesus and how he came and died on the cross for us. And so we examine how Jesus came down, and he didn't do anything wrong, by the way. He came down and he died for our sins, and they nailed him to the cross, and he died in our place. And that's God's love to us. How does it look? Well, I'll tell you how it looks. It looks, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, and that you die for her, give yourself for her, respect nothing in return, but totally give yourself unto death. That's what it like. So when I want to see how Christianity and Christ works, I'm going to come visit Wallace. But maybe you should visit Carlos. I don't know. God, I mean, you catch me on a bad day. I mean, if you catch me on a good day. I mean, Lord, but that's what it's saying. This is what it is saying right here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now just pause, guys. Pause. How did Christ love the church? But she's so stinking mean. No. Well, she never does what I tell her. No. But there's no but in this equation. As soon as you say but, you lose. Can you see Jesus? I die for these people, but that one. No, there's no but. Jesus didn't come with a but. So we can't come up with a but. God, I will love her like Christ. But why did you give me this one? You see what I'm saying? So here it is. Here it is. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I would tell you this. Now, I wasn't going to say this. I've made a predetermined thing not to say it, but I can't help myself. Anyway, ladies, you're going to love him. When I'd ever do any marriage counseling, this is the verse I start with. I shut him up quick. I mean, he ain't got nothing to say. He ain't nothing to say. This is what you do. I don't care if she's got three eyes. This is what you do. You know, I'm telling you. Who cares? This is what you do. See? And then we start from there. You know, and we'll just see how it goes. But you see what I'm saying? Because it really covers, as soon as you start with that verse, it kind of, you know, puts everything else together, doesn't it? And by the way, the Lord put it here. I mean, this is what he said. Now, what this is pointing to, it's an direct reference to our point number two. A biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. There it is. Is the woman exalted? Is the woman exalted? Yeah, Lord. Is it the man leadership by the man? Yeah. He said, no, that wasn't the kind of leadership I was thinking of. I was thinking like, you know, be quarterback of the football team or, you know, lead an army. Not this. This can't be leadership. God says it is. God says it is. He says that's leadership. So you want leadership by the man, ladies. You want leadership by the man. Why? Because then he'll die for you. Amen? Now, you screw this up. Oh, he's abusive. He's overpowered. Well, okay, who wouldn't like him either? But that's not what God said. No, if he, Christ, a Christian, he sacrifices himself. He leads that way. You need leadership by the man, and God demands leadership, and it exalts the woman. Now, to me, that answers a lot of questions. All right? Now, Christ died for the church so the church would be exalted. Why are we exalted? Because of the church, because of Christ. The church is exalted because of Christ, period. I mean, the church is a mess, but we're exalted because of Christ. We keep pointing to Christ. See, the husband loves his wife self-sacrificially like Christ so she may be exalted. Now, I'm on a little side note here. The word love. There's three words for love in the Greek. Three words. And they translate them love, but there are three. And the highest form is the agape. And it's a Christ-like love. It's the highest, distinctively Christian word for love. God so loved the world. God so agaped the world. He gave. Husbands, agape your wife like Christ agaped the church. I mean, so it's same word. And this, the other word is eros, like sexual. Okay, we have an eros relationship. Okay, it's not agape. Don't think it is. I mean, you're just hot to trot. It ain't agape. Amen. Sorry for being so coarse, because people transfer arrows for agape. It's not what it is. It won't last. Burn up with everything else. Or filial. Filia. You know, and I've seen a lot of marriages have a filia relationship. It's just kind of a handshake, you know. How you doing? Kind of superficial. It's a friendship marriage. See, God goes, no, you have an agape love. Well, what's an agape love? Jesus showed you. Jesus showed you. Jesus so agaped the world. God so agaped the world. He gave his son. There's a commitment behind it. Now, so what we have here, the redemptive truth is expressed in the marriage. Now, do you see the connection here? The redemptive truth. You know, our issues in marriage are issues, and you work through them. But the deep spiritual is the redemptive truth. See, screw up your marriage, and you screw up the redemptive truth. See it? I mean, this is what God's saying. He said, and see, this is all this started in Genesis. So when Paul talks about it, he tells it, he refers back to Genesis. It's Genesis chapter 2. That's when he got started, he said this. He didn't just think it up, you know, today. It's that creation was in his mind. Now, this word used when God tells the husband to love his wife, that same word, agape, is the same word used to describe when Jesus went to the cross. God affirms that Jesus' sacrificial death was for her, the church. God refers to the church as her. When Jesus comes back for his bride. See? John 3:16. For God so loved, God so agaped the world, self-sacrificially died. God so agaped the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Wow. Amen. Y'all with me? And what you see here, you see what the world is messing with. Now, I think if something that would tick God off, I think this would tick God off. Because it's the core of what he's trying to tell us. It's the core of what he's trying to say. And so if that core of what how he witnesses this is taken away, I think he really might move. And what's fascinating about marriage is it permeates the whole world, believers or not. I mean, they have marriage. They don't even know what they're doing. You know, they're married. You know, why are they doing it? Because it's ingrained in them. You have to kind of un-ingrain yourself, and it's kind of hard to do. You see what I'm saying? Interesting. Interesting. Now, here's something. You're going to love this. Oh, see, none of these guys smiling. Okay, lighten up. Here's something. In Ephesians, this is fascinating to me. This is absolutely fascinating to me. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33, that whole section, it's about marriage. The Apostle Paul is speaking about marriage and what it's about. That's where all this comes from. Okay, so he's talking about it. Now, here's something fascinating. In those verses, he tells the husband four times to love his wife. Four, use agape every time. It's like, die for her, die for her, die for her, die for her. And we go, what do you mean? I don't know. No. Four times in that section, he tells the husband to agape your wife. Now, is he getting a point across or what? Is he? No, everybody's afraid to move. He's getting a point across, okay? Four times he tells the husband to agape his wife. Now, here's something. This is just unbelievable. Did you know in that section of Scripture, he never tells the wife to love her husband? Guys, I'm telling you, he lays it on you heavy. Four times you die for your wife, and he didn't say beans to her. He didn't say nothing to her. Isn't that credible? Not one thing. But there's a reason, and we see the reason. Now pay attention to this. This is hugely important. We can see the reason for it. Now, other places in Scripture, you know, it tells the wife to love. He tells everybody to love everybody. Okay, but in this section talking about marriage, it specifically is absent that he does not tell the wife to love the husband. But we see the reason behind this, and we have the understanding behind this, why the Lord didn't feel the need to tell the wife to love the husband in this section. And it's in 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. And it just fits perfectly. 1 John 4:19. Great memory verse. Okay. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Okay. We love God because he first loved us. This explains the whole thing. This explains the whole thing. See, what happened, look at our salvation. Somebody explained God's love for us. Somebody. I don't know how we came across it. We understood God's love for us, that he loved us unconditionally. They explained it to us. Amen? Then what'd we do? We loved him back. Let that sink in. Somebody expressed, and we understood God's love for us, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We understood that, oh my God, oh God, for me, oh my gosh, oh my God. And what happened? We loved him back. There it is. There it is. Therefore, if the husband will love his wife like Christ loved the church, she will love him back. Now see, we've already learned this. She is so sensitive and relational, and she's made to respond to sacrificial love. See, she's sensitive. She's relational. And she just responds to sacrificial love. In fact, she can't hardly help it. She can't hardly help it. Like I said, sin messes up everything. Throw a little Eros in there and it screws the whole thing up. But she responds to self-sacrificial love, just like the church responds to self-sacrificial love. Therefore, it's so natural for her to respond, it's not even necessary to write it in Scripture. Why waste my time? He doesn't have to, oh yeah, by the way, wives love your husband. He doesn't have to, it's a waste of Scripture. You know, in the Scriptures, oh, you got to tell you the sun comes up so you wouldn't know. We know, so he didn't tell us. It is so natural, so impulsive, so overwhelming for a woman to respond to sacrificial love like that. There's no reason to tell her. She just does by her very makeup. So he doesn't include it in Ephesians 5. What he does say, husband, you love her like Christ loved the church. She will love you back. It's what it says, and that's the reason it doesn't address the woman in that section. Y'all with me? I see sweat on some of you guys' brow. But that's what it says. And why is all this? To reflect Christ in the church. Why are you putting all of this on me, Lord? What about her? I mean, God, what are you doing? You're supposed to reflect Christ in your marriage. And as you reflect Christ in your marriage, you'll reflect church in your marriage. And the marriage reflects me. It'll be for all eternity. The intimacy and the closeness of a marriage reflects the intimacy and closeness we'll have with Christ for all eternity. And Paul says, he ends it like, this is a profound mystery. Mystery means you didn't know this before. That's what they meant. You know that? Profound is like, man, this is a big deal. This is a big deal what you didn't know. It's a profound mystery. You didn't know. Now you know. I'll use my old friend Bill Wright's comment. Every time he'd tell me something profound, he goes, now you're accountable. God. So I just said, you're accountable now. I mean, God bless you. You didn't know before. You're accountable now. Amen? Thanks. Love you, Wallace. You're my best friend. I don't even philia you right now. Anyway, what's that? So you see, I mean, it really is amazing what the Lord is saying here. So, and And so, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church, self-sacrificially, has nothing to do with receiving. It doesn't, lady. Well, you didn't do nothing for me, you know. Well, who cares? Who said? She ain't supposed to. You're supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. You don't do it based on what she does for you. Okay, Christ, I'll do this if you do this extra for me. Doesn't work like that, does it? See, that's the example. That's the connection has here. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's saying here. Husbands, do this. She will love you back. She can't help but love you back. She can't. She can't. Not as believers. Now, unbelievers reject God, Christ, and the whole thing. You don't go do their arrows. But a believer, see, and you connect with Christ, you can't help it. You can't help it because that's the way God made you. That's the way God... The issue isn't the woman loving back. The issue and the focus is the man loving like Christ loved the church. That's the issue. That's where the pressure is. That's where the pressure... And you know, I've preached this message and shown it to a lot of different people. I have never... This is 30 years... 30 years, I have never, not one time, had a woman say, I don't like that. Women say, I love this, man. I am loving this. And you know what? Who I have problems with? The guys. The guy go, whoa. No, if they understand, they go, whoa. And I would even say the majority of guys. Wait a minute, you're putting all this on me. Well, you know what about little Miss right here? She's got some responsibilities. See? Well, you may think so. God doesn't. All right? Guys have a problem with this. See, guys. I have even talked to, I did a class one time of, the whole class didn't know Christ. They were unchurched. Went through this whole section, and I mean the women were like punching the guys going, I like that. I mean, they didn't even know Jesus. I like this. You know, and the guy's going, whoa, no, I have nothing to do with this. See, it's not a problem with the men. Women, it's a problem with the men. You see what I'm saying? Die for her. Well, what's the second option? You know, anyway, so here you have it. Now, so what you also do, I will ask you some ladies, okay, your spouse, I mean, how hard, ladies, how hard would it be to love a man like this? I know you're with your spouse, you're just biting your lip. You know, I ain't saying nothing. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Oh, I got to tell you this story. I've told it before, but it fits in better now. Gary Smalley, if you read any about Gary Smalley's books, they're on love and everything, and he writes some of the stuff, and something similar to this, not just like this, but similar. And he was in Denver, and he was on a bus, and he was going to this conference, and it was somebody, one of the big-time women liberals like Gloria Steinem. I don't know it was Gloria Steinem, but somebody like that, that you would know if you said her name, and I just can't recall it. And so he's looking at this, and he's going to present this at a conference of Christians. And he says, if this works, I just wonder what you'd have to say. And so he went up, and he was able to sit beside her, and he introduced himself and, you know, told him who he was, what he's doing, what he did. And she's real nice. She's real, real nice to him. And she said, I'd like to share some stuff with you and let you get your take on what you think. And she said, okay, I don't mind. And she basically, I'm summarizing, it wasn't the exact words, but she basically said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's basically what he shared with her. And he says, what do you think of that? Her response, verbatim, was this: they don't make a man like that. What's the issue? They don't make a man like that. That's an issue. See, she didn't say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You just Christian, you know, extremist. That's not what she said. She said, they don't make a man like that. They love his wife like Christ loved the church. Amen. I mean, is this powerful or what? It's powerful. It's powerful. Now, You can see how, now listen to this, you can see how secular feminism and the destruction of male leadership actually destroys the marriage and thus destroys the communication of the gospel. Amen? Unbelievable. Well, after that, this section does have something to say to the ladies. You guys are going, praise you, Jesus, God, something's coming. Okay. It actually does say something important to the wives, all right? It only says it once, but, you know, the whole section's to the men. I mean, the whole thing, but there's just one zinger in there for the ladies, okay? You can put this up, Ephesians 5:33. Let the wife see she respects her husband. That's it. I mean, that's it. Now, we know why God's telling the guys to love your wife self-sacrificially and die. We know what that's going on. But it just kind of throws this one there for, oh, okay, ladies, by the way, see that you respect your husbands. Now, what's important about this, as you won't think about it, is that we know that the husband, being not that relational and not that sensitive, you know, God needs to tell him four times. He does. I mean, the guys, he's just not sensitive. He's not really. So he says four times. You got it? Okay, God, I got it. Four times, I got it. Now, but since the wife is so sensitive and relational, he just has to whisper it one time. She says, I got it, God. So he just tells you. So it's just as important. He just doesn't feel like he has to tell you as much. All right? And he says, wives, respect your husband. And it also highlights the issue. That's the issue. You want something devastating to a guy? Don't respect him. You want to motivate a guy? Respect him. I mean, let's face it, we're simple. We're simple. But it's profound. It's profound. And so that is the message to the ladies. Now, we'll wrap it up and just think about this. And this is convicting, but this is what God is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us something so we'll put our arms around it so we'll have the power to communicate the gospel. We get wrapped up in our own junk and we can't see the spiritual greatness of what God is trying to do. And so he's telling us here. So here it is. The gospel is revealed through our own marriage. I want to share the gospel. Where do you start? Love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's where the gospel starts. And this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Destroy the marriage, destroy the gospel. Destroy the marriage, communicate destruction to your children. Destroy the marriage, you destroy the power of the gospel. I mean, that's what it says. Now, so what do we want? Do you want to communicate the gospel? No, God's people said, amen. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to communicate the gospel, okay? But God says, you want to communicate the gospel? Men, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husband. Amen? And this is my closing that I read, you know, in each one of these sections. And it starts off like this, the last section. Sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman and demand leadership by the man, which will model godliness to their children. Hallelujah! It is so simple. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we look to you. God, I mean, it's overwhelming what you say. You say marriage is a covenant that you have given to us, Lord, for all eternity. And that covenant between a man and a woman, that is unbreakable is the same covenant that Christ has with the church that's unbreakable. The communication of the two together of self-sacrifice and response in love and God respect reflects the gospel. And a Christian marriage reflects the gospel. And Lord, we ask you to give us strength and ability to have our eyes focus on you, that you would empower us through the Holy Spirit to behave as you have told us, that Lord, as a man, Lord, give me your power to agape love. Give me your power to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And ladies, you say, dear God, let me respond to my husband like I would respond to Christ. Respect him and communicate the gospel. We thank you, God, for your word and its promises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.